arrangement or discussion between council is that Mr. Olson is done. You can step down, Dr. Olson.
Thank you.
And Mr. Biella, you plan to recall Mr. Jason, I forget how to say this.
To respond to Commissioner Fedorchak's question?
Yep.
Yes. We call Jason Utton to stand.
Okay, Mr. Utton, I'm just going to remind you that you're still under oath. You're still under oath.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Commissioner Fedorchak, you want to ask the question directly, or would you prefer to have Mr. Biella ask it again?
State it for the record. I'm interested in pursuing this latest technology for lighting that minimizes the visual impact of the nighttime red lights blinking, and interested in knowing from the company if you are able to include if the FAA has approved any other sorts of lighting systems that would trigger when there's an aircraft in the area or a flock of birds or whatever it is that needs to be alerted by the lights, and incorporate that into the project if it's available, or how we can explore that kind of a technology incorporated into this project, either from the beginning or down the road when it becomes available.
Okay. I know that there's technology like that that exists, but what I can't speak to today, Commissioner, is to the level of FAA approval, and if it's in the test phase, or if it's geographically isolated, or if there are stipulations around distance from certain airports. But I have already reached out to a few folks that have a little bit more closer knowledge of this. We have so many of these throughout the country, this is something that we hear, and you know, we're trying to figure out, is there a better way to do this? And what I can commit to you is that very quickly I can find out what the latest technology is, what is approved by the FAA, if we're using it anywhere, and then kind of report back to you. I don't think it'll take very long, because I've actually already got a few folks that have stepped out to make phone calls.
And so are you talking yet today, or are you thinking a late filed exhibit?
I think a late filed exhibit, but I should know more today. If you'd like, I can come back up later and tell you what I've learned in the, you know, the next hour or so.
Sure. Why don't we do that?
Okay.
We'll just get the latest information that you have
sure.
available from your experts today, and we'll talk about it here, and then we can determine how to proceed.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Utton is here. Is there anything else that the commissioners wanted to follow up with him?
Your Honor, I will say that I'm impressed that Commissioner Fedorchak brought this up, and I hadn't really heard of that before. It sounds so logical to me. Mm-hmm. I am going to be emphasizing not just, as she mentioned earlier, the just casual thing, well, you know, we checked into it, doesn't work, and that's it.
No, absolutely.
Or something that we get the night before our vote. I'm going to insist on
yes, sir.
Something a little bit thorough here.
Yes, sir.
Not a little bit thorough, something thorough.
Thorough, yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Good.
Okay, Mr. Utton, you can step down.
Your Honor, there was a discussion earlier.
Go ahead. Do you have something
earlier
else
today on our Exhibit 2, and the fact that it was 2,000 feet from any property line. Mm-hmm. So if we do have an exhibit that would show the result of a 2,000-foot setback only from non-participating persons within this wind farm. So at this point, I would like to show that to Mr. Utton and
okay.
get that
sure.
in.
This would be Exhibit 5.
Okay.
That should be enough. Jason, showing you Exhibit 5, was this exhibit prepared by Brady Wind?
Yes, it was.
and was under your direction?
Yes.
And can you describe what this depicts?
Sure. It depicts the current project boundary, Brady Wind. It also depicts in gray what it would look like if you imposed a 2,000-foot setback, if you reverted from a 2,000-foot setback from non-participating homes to a 2,000-foot setback from non-participating property lines.
And demonstrating what then?
That the vast majority of the project would be ruled out. All the vast majority of the turbine locations would be excluded.
Yeah. We would ask to admit Exhibit 5.
Any objection, Mr. Pelham?
No objection.
Mr. Collins?
No.
Okay, Exhibit 5 will be admitted.
I have no further questions of Mr. Rodden.
Okay, Mr. Rodden, I think you're...
Nope.
Oh, questions about the exhibit?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Who's first? Okay, Commissioner Christman.
Just that I won't blame the company for not having...
I won't blame you guys for not having what I'm going to ask for available, because this would be something new. But based on this and what we've kind of heard from the questioning and some of the commenters in the interim, and what I expect to hear probably from the interveners and their request for the 2,000-foot setback that we're discussing. So you've created this, but I also heard from your witness that at around 1,000 feet, you might expect to start having health issues. So would you recreate this at 1,000 feet from non-participating landowners? And I'll just tell you why, what I'm thinking on it. If at 1,000 feet you have serious potential for health effects, then if we allow that closer than 1,000 feet from that non-participating landowner, we may be kind of eliminating their ability to develop that as a potential residential site, even though no residence exists there now. So based on your witness's concern at 1,000 feet, I'd like you to recreate
okay.
this. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Just to be clear for the record, we would want to file that as a late filed exhibit. Is, I believe, what the commissioner is requesting.
Correct, yes.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
And just a further clarification, are you talking 1,000 feet from property lines or from residences?
I think
I'm talking with 1,000 feet from non-participating property lines.
Sir.
Property lines.
But if I may, Your Honor.
You may.
The health expert testified as to health effects of 1,000 feet from a residence. Here we're talking what you just indicated, 1,000 feet from a property line, that's a big difference.
It is, but as I said, what I'm expecting to hear based on the testimony from some of the people who testified individually was their desire for the 2,000, but even at 1,000, if that causes a problem, then that means that land is no longer available as a potential residential site as it is before the wind turbine is built. So it may in fact be lessening the property value if it becomes no longer available as a potential residence.
Yeah, we'll get that exhibit.
Okay, anything else for Mr. Rutten? Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Yep. Mr. Biella, you have another witness?
We have one more witness, Your Honor.
One more, okay.
His name is Chris Farmer.
Farmer?
Yeah, F-A-R-M-E-R.
Okay. First name is Chris, C-H-R-I-S?
Yeah, my full name is Christopher.
Raise your right hand. You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this proceeding.
I do.
Okay, thank you. And before we go on, I think I see a few new faces out there. If you are new to the room and you haven't signed the sign-in sheet, somewhere there's a sign-in sheet at the back of the room. Somebody's holding it up. please sign in so we know you're here. And I guess I'll just kind of, it's a little early, but we scheduled for 5 o'clock the transmission line hearing. Is there anybody that's here just for the transmission line yet? Okay, I'll call out for that again around 5 o'clock. But, all right, Mr. Viella.
Please state your name and business address.
My name is Christopher Farmer. I'm employed by DNVGL of 4377 County Line Road in Chalfont, Pennsylvania.
What is your position with DNVGL?
I'm the principal biologist for environmental and permitting services. I provide avian and bat services for energy projects.
And what is your educational background?
I received a PhD in ecology in 2002, followed by a postdoctoral fellowship in ecology in 2004. Prior to my PhD, I received a MS degree in science education and a BS in biology.
And what is your professional experience?
I have 18 years of experience in ecological research and management of wildlife, including large mammals, birds, and bats. My primary focus at DNVGL is on avian and bat studies and conservation planning, with an emphasis on bald and golden eagles. I have been a member of eagle and endangered species teams for wind and solar energy projects in 20 different states. I'm a founding member of the Eastern Golden Eagle Working Group and an associate editor for the Journal of Raptor Research.
We would offer the further testimony if Dr. Farmer is an expert in avian matters.
Okay, I'll accept it. I guess there's, see if there's any objections. But
no objection.
Mr. Collins, I didn't think there were any. Okay.
And Chris, were you involved in preparation of the application to the Public Service Commission Exhibit 1?
Yes.
And what's the purpose of your testimony today?
I provide testimony regarding the due diligence that Brady Wynn conducted with respect to the potential for bald and golden eagles to be in or near the project area, explain the results of that due diligence, and describe the outreach and engagement that Brady Wynn did with the United States Fish and Wildlife Service and other agencies regarding eagle issues. I am focusing on eagles because Brady Wynn is aware that eagles have been of particular concern to the Commission on other recent wind projects.
And what studies did you perform to evaluate the potential impact of the project on bald and golden eagles?
Brady Wynn first identified federally protected species with a potential to occur in Stark County, North Dakota, based on review of available records. That review indicated that there is potential for bald and golden eagles to occur within the project area, which are both protected under the Bald and Golden Eagle Protection Act. Additionally, Brady Wynn sent letters of inquiry to U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, North Dakota Department of Game and Fish, and North Dakota Parks and Recreation Department regarding eagle nest locations and potential wildlife impacts in May and in August 2015. The North Dakota Game and Fish provided locations of known eagle nests in the vicinity of the project in June 2015. Response letters describing potential resource impacts were received from North Dakota Parks and Recreation Department in August and North Dakota Game and Fish Department in September 2015. Potential resource impacts, including those to eagles, were discussed with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and North Dakota Game and Fish Department in a December 2015 meeting. We followed up on that meeting by providing shapefiles, maps, and survey reports to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and North Dakota Game and Fish Department in January and February 2016.
And once you determine that there is a potential for bald and golden eagles to occur in the project area, what further analysis did Brady Wynn conduct?
In April and May 2015, we conducted aerial and ground-based surveys for eagle nests within 10 miles of another proposed wind project in the county, which has since been canceled. In June 2015, we received the locations of known eagle nests within 10 miles of the project from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. We also conducted a raptor nest inventory within the project area plus a 2-mile buffer in June 2015 and again in November 2015. In January and February 2016, we conducted raptor nest surveys for the project area plus 10-mile buffer. In addition, a spring raptor nest survey is currently underway. We have also been conducting eagle use surveys in the project area every 2 weeks since August 2015. These surveys are ongoing.
And what were the results of the 2015 nest surveys?
The North Dakota Game and Fish Department provided locations of 6 known golden eagle nests within 10 miles of the project area. The nests are located on large sandstone bluffs and are approximately 8 to 9 miles to the northwest of the project area, possibly indicating 1 to 2 territories based on the spacing of the nests. Brady Wind identified 2 known bald eagle nests within 10 miles of the project area in spring 2015. The nearest bald eagle nest is located approximately 3 miles to the east of the project in an isolated stand of trees surrounded by agricultural habitat. The other bald eagle nest is located approximately 8 miles to the northeast of the project along the Hart River. No bald or golden eagle nests were found within the project area or 2-mile buffer surrounding the project area during a ground-based inventory conducted in June 2015 or the aerial nest survey in November 2015. 2 groups of unoccupied large stick nests were located during the November 2015 aerial nest survey, a cluster of 5 nests 2.1 to 3.2 miles from the project area, and a single nest 5.9 miles from the project area. All 6 of these unoccupied nests were located on sandstone buttes, and the nest spacing indicates that there may be 1 or 2 raptor territories. These large nests are most likely to be used by large raptor species such as golden eagles or ferruginous hawks, and a golden eagle was subsequently viewed perching in proximity to the cluster of 5 large unoccupied nests in December 2015.
And what were the results of the January and February 2016 nest surveys?
During the January 2016 nest survey, all known nests within 10 miles of the project area were visited. The 2 bald eagle nests located 3 miles east and 8 miles northeast of the project area were occupied. All other nests were unoccupied. Additionally, the January 2016 survey detected 3 large stick nests south of the project area, 8.0 to 13.3 miles from the nearest turbine, and 1 additional large stick nest associated with the 6 nest cluster, 8 to 9 miles from the project area. All were unoccupied in January 2016. The primary objective of the February 2016 survey was to check the status of known and potential eagle nests within 10 miles of the project area. Additionally, the status of known prairie dog towns within 10 miles of the project was also checked. The 2 known bald eagle nests east and northeast of the project that were occupied in January were still occupied during the February survey. All of the known golden eagle nests and the large stick nests located on sandstone buttes to the northwest of the project area were unoccupied. 2 of the 3 large stick nests located in trees to the south of the project area were occupied based on the addition of fresh greenery added since the January surveys. However, no eagles were observed in attendance at these nests. 3 additional large stick nests were found in close proximity, approximately 25 meters, to the documented nests. These are most likely alternate nests for the raptors using the occupied large stick nests.
And what were the results of the eagle use surveys within the project area?
During 205 hours of general avian point counts and eagle use surveys conducted to date, no bald or golden eagles were observed.
Were any eagles observed near the project area but not during the surveys?
Yes. Those observations provide less information about use of the area by eagles because they were not systematically collected. Outside of the systematic surveys, 11 bald eagles and 25 golden eagles were observed, either while the biologist was traveling among survey points or during nest surveys. Of these sightings, 1 bald eagle and 5 golden eagles were seen within the project area.
And what other surveys related to eagles have been completed?
Activity at prairie dog towns within 10 miles of the project area was surveyed during the February nest survey. Prairie dog activity was confirmed at 1 of the 9 known prairie dog towns within 10 miles of the project. That colony is located approximately 9 miles southwest of the project area. However, all of the prairie dog towns appeared to be occupied based on the presence of freshly excavated burrows and trails of worn down vegetation between burrow entrances. 2 monthly ground-based observations were begun in January 2016 to determine whether the large stick nests 2.1 to 5.9 miles from the project area are used by golden eagles. And ground-based observations of the bald eagle nests nearest the project area, 3 miles from the project area, were begun in February 2016.
What is the purpose of the spring raptor nest survey currently underway?
The spring raptor nest survey is timed to coincide with the breeding season for eagles, and it will provide information on occupancy and breeding activity at the known eagle nests and the large stick nests within 10 miles of the project area. If the large stick nests are occupied, it will also allow Brady Wynn to identify the species occupying them. We have already located all of the eagle nests within 10 miles of the project and determined that the project will not cause material adverse impact to eagle populations in the area. The spring raptor nest survey is intended to clarify the occupancy status of the nests within 10 miles of the project. It is unlikely that any new nests will be found during the spring survey because eagles typically build nests in December through February.
Based on the presence of bald and golden eagles in the vicinity of the project area, what does that indicate to you?
Although bald and golden eagles have a low likelihood of breeding within the project area due to a lack of suitable nesting habitat, bald and golden eagles nesting in the vicinity of the project could potentially be present in the project area when foraging or migrating.
Given the results of these analyses, what impact would you expect the wind facility to have on eagle populations in the area?
It is unlikely that the wind facility will cause material adverse impacts to eagle populations in the area.
Did Brady Wynn discuss its analysis and results with federal and state agencies?
Yes. Brady Wynn provided shape files of eagle nest locations from aerial raptor nest surveys to the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Brady Wynn and Tetra Tech met with Kevin Shelley of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service North Dakota Field Office and John Schumacher of the North Dakota Game and Fish Department in December 2015. Mr. Shelley identified that this is an area with wintering golden eagles, recommended that we perform an eagle nest survey in January, which was since conducted, and provided input on the type of analysis that should be included in the project's bird and bat conservation strategy. Brady Wynn has since coordinated with Mr. Shelley on the contents of the bird and bat conservation strategy.
And is Brady Wynn implementing any measures to avoid or minimize potential impacts to eagles?
Yes. Brady Wynn has designed the project layout to site turbines and access roads away from wetlands and water bodies to the extent practicable. Brady Wynn will bury collection lines from the turbines to the project substation and construct the transmission line associated with the project following recommendations from the Avian Power Line Interaction Committee, or APLIC, suggested guidelines to minimize risk of collision or electrocution of eagles.
And in your opinion, if the wind farm is constructed as set forth in the application and discussed at this hearing, will there be any significant effects to eagle populations?
No.
Now, this will conclude our direct testimony of Dr. Farmer.
Questions for Dr. Farmer? Mr. Pelham.
Thank you, Your Honor. Dr. Farmer, just briefly, you mentioned the spring 2016 raptor survey is being underway. Is this survey going to be provided to the commission?
It's my understanding that it will be provided to the Fish and Wildlife Service and the Commission.
Okay. And presumably as a late filed exhibit in this case. Okay. All right. No further questions.
Mr. Lean, questions?
No questions, Your Honor.
Mr. Collins.
Just a couple. You indicated that you've moved roads and turbines from wetland areas as practicable.
But I think my testimony indicated that they were sited away from those as practicable.
Right. But 30 of the 39 wetlands identified are impacted by the project. Did you know that?
I am aware of that previous testimony, yes.
Okay. What do you consider significant mortality levels, which, if experienced, would merit mitigation with regard to the bat populations?
My testimony here pertains only to eagles.
Oh, just
to
eagles. I'm sorry. If you're wrong and eagles or eagles are impacted, do you have a specific plan to address it, Brady Wynn?
I don't think I'm in a position to answer that question. That's more of an operations question for Brady Wynn.
Okay. What's all the questions?
Okay, commissioners, Commissioner Kalk, I know you love to talk about eagles.
I love to talk about eagles. When the company talked about the commission has expressed the desire, my two colleagues looked at me because that was created a lot of headaches for Rolette Wind Farm because they had some eagles in the area and they did the due diligence, but the service did not step up to the plate. So that's my opinion. But I appreciate the work that you've done with the service. You've met with Kevin, with Shelley, you've talked about things, and for me, the big thing that I gleaned the previous hearings, which is not part of this record, you know, the closest one is 3 miles to the east. That's outside the normal range these things roam. The other one is 8 miles to the northeast, so I would agree with your conclusion that everything should be okay. And the part about mitigation, if something would happen where there was eagles that showed up in the area that didn't request a permit, like Commissioner Fedorchak talked about, and you would certainly work with the service on what their mitigation plan, I would presume.
I believe Brady Wind would, and they may involve me as a consultant on that or not.
Because the service has a list of mitigation methods that we've looked at for other wind farms that go out in the morning, pick up carcasses and all kinds of different things. So, all right, thank you.
Mr. Fedorchak? Mr. Christen?
Nor do I. Thank you.
Okay. Just one thing for the record. How do you spell the town in Pennsylvania?
It's Chalfont.
I have to say, I never heard of that one before. Okay.
That concludes our case, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Pelham. Okay, Mr. Collins, it's time for us to start with your case, but I think we'll take 10 minutes for a bathroom break and give the court reporter a little break, stretch our legs, and we'll start at 4:30 on that clock.